You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wells Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you that your Word has already been sent. It's been forwarded. All that needs to happen now is for us to receive it. Give us ears to hear what your Spirit wants to tell us this morning. I thank you for your Word being confirmed with signs following, with answers being received, with healings being manifested, and Lord Jesus, with solution being given to all the listeners in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. 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 Come with me to 1 Samuel 30. I'll tell you a little story to introduce the message. I don't usually do that. Not that there's anything wrong with it, but I believe I need to do this. I was in France with a team, and we happened to have a pastor from America with us. And during rush hour in the evening in Paris, the metro is like a nightmare. I mean, there's so many people. I mean, you got a train coming by, and there's so many spots on the train, and so many people waiting to get on that train. And you do the math, and real quick you understand that very few people are going to get into that train, especially when you see that as it stops at the station, it's already full. Amen. I mean, you know, there's five spots available, and you got 250 people waiting to get those five spots. So you know how that is. So everybody rushes in, and we have a team of people. I want to make sure that nobody gets left behind, okay? So I'm making sure that I'm the last one in, and I push everybody in, and safely, everybody's here, everybody's accounted for, and I barely get in before the door closes behind me. And I can't believe it. There's still some people getting in after me. I mean, the siren is going already because the doors are closing. And somebody gets in behind me. And I'm facing this pastor. In fact, it was Pastor Jerry. So, you know, he's standing there, you know. And I'm facing him. And all of a sudden, I feel my wallet doing an act of levitation. And, you know, I don't have time to explain what I'm doing. I turn around and I grab the guy behind me. And, you know, I have a, you know, sometimes you don't think. You know, right now I was not the born-again, spirit-filled Christian, you know, that wants to give the other cheek. Not right now. I'm ready to punch him. You know, I got him here. He's not going anywhere. And then I'm thinking, well, you're not supposed to do this. This would not look good, you know. So anyway, but I kept on holding him, and then I hear my wallet just obeying the laws of gravity, you know, and it falls on the ground. Okay, so I pick up my wallet, but I don't let go of the guy. Anyway, I recovered my wallet. And I turned around and I looked at Pastor Jerry. You should have seen the look on his face. Because he has no idea what all happened there. All he saw was me grabbing this guy and I'm ready to punch him. And I know what was going through his head. He's thinking, oh, I see. Well, the French people are hard to reach. This must be a new method of preaching the gospel. Get saved! Now! It was memorable, believe me. But anyway, I got my wallet back. I recovered. Now, I wonder if all of us collectively here could recover everything that has been stolen from us. What could we do? Man, would we have a list? Part of the problem is that we don't know how to go about it sometimes. Sometimes we just, you know, do like banks. When they can't settle a note, they just write it off. Yeah. See, scripturally, we're not allowed to write anything off. You know why? Because we are merely stewards of what's been entrusted to us. None of what we have really belongs to us. If Jesus is your Lord, that means He owns it all, and you've just been allowed to have stewardship over what was He's entrusted you with. So you can't do what you want. If your Pastor Williams would let me borrow his car, let's say. All right? Listen, I would pay extra care. You know, if it's my car, it's my car. You know, I'm insured, you know. I mean, who cares? But if it's his car, knowing that he's a Texan, especially, I'm going to take care of that car. Hello? Amen? And that's the way we need to treat everything that's been entrusted to us. Amen? See, it's not ours. Well, okay, easy come, easy go. But that's why the devil is having a heyday with, and I'm not just talking about stuff. I'm talking about our kids. I'm talking about spiritual gifts. Now, you know this. You know, this is a charismatic church, right? Sorry, I didn't warn you. This is a charismatic church. But you know, I have to say, because I travel, spiritual gifts today in charismatic churches are pretty much non-existent. You know what that tells me? Those people that had received those gifts, somehow those gifts have been stolen from them. But there's good news. They can be restored. They can be restored. They can be restored. Today is a day when we make the decision that nothing that's been stolen from us will stay on the table. We're going to get everything back. Would you like to get everything back? You know, there's a way. There's a in this passage of scripture that I just mentioned. It's a beautiful strategy on how to go about recovering everything that God has given to us. You know, we find David in verse 3. It says, David and his men came to the city, and there it was. You know, usually you don't get prior warning when something is going to get stolen from you. Nobody is prepared for it. You know, it always happens to the other guy. See, you always feel like, oh my God, I never thought this was going to happen to me. And that's what happens to David and his men. They came to the city, and there it was, burnt with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. This is very interesting. They mention wives, sons, daughters. They don't mention all the stuff that was taken. I wondered about this. I believe at that moment, when they made the list, they took inventory of what was taken away. Somehow, stuff wasn't as important as wives, daughters, and sons. See, sometimes we only worry about stuff, but stuff can be replaced. If you have a son that the devil has stolen from you, listen, you know, he cannot be replaced. Amen? There are things more important than stuff. You know, I don't know, sometimes we, you know, some Christians, they should sing that Madonna song, Material Girl or something. You know, sometimes we only think in terms of things. Hello? There's more than things. So we need to take, the first thing that David does, he takes inventory. What has been taken? What's been taken from the church? We just talked about spiritual gifts. We can talk about people. How many people, this church has been around for what, 25 years? 30 years. Wow. In 30 years, now there's some people that, you know, they come, and they go, and it's okay, all right? But there, you know that there are people that were never supposed to leave.
Right. Right.
They came here by God's mandate.
Yeah.
God said, this is it.
Amen. Yep.
And yet they're gone. They were stolen. You know, I know that this facility would not be big enough if all the people that left
right.
for the wrong reason, if they were all to come back.
That's right.
Wow. That's what I'm talking about. Recover all. Recover all. What about America? I came with Josette in 1970. I have a very hard time. See, we came for a specific reason. We came to a country that was what it was in 1970. Listen, it was quite an effort to come here. We did not swim across the Rio Grande. Okay? You know, we actually had to do the paperwork and all of that. So we wanted to come because we didn't like where we were, and we came to a country that was better. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I don't recognize this country anymore. I read some of the stuff. I hear what people are saying. Oh, my God. What happened to this country? All the things that have been stolen from us. Prayer in school. Now we talk about, well, is it right? Really, should anybody even mention abortion as being a problem? Hello? See, in 1970, that's something nobody in their right mind would have brought up. We've lost a lot in this country, but I got good news for you. We can get it back.
Yes. Amen.
See, we cannot be fatalist and say, well, you know, I mean, well, you know, this is it. See, that's exactly what the devil wants. That's exactly what he wants. So take inventory. And then it says that these people, they wept. They lifted up their voices, verse 4, until they had no more power to weep. Now that's the first initial response that we should have. See, they cared enough about what was taken away that they reacted to it. They said, this isn't right. But let me tell you, just to say it isn't right and cry over it is not going to bring it back. See, there's people that make a career out of crying. What things would have been like if this had not been stolen from me? Or if this had happened? If this, if that. Well, you can't live your life that way. Hello? See, otherwise you become a statistic. You're one more person that has had things and people and gifts stolen from you. You don't want to be a statistic. Tell the person next to you, I'm not going to be a statistic. Amen.
Amen?
Then it says, David was greatly distressed. Well, you know, who wouldn't be? For the people, you would think that he would be distressed because of what was taken from him. No, no, no. It's because the people spoke of stoning him. Because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his son and his daughters. And they were blaming him. Now, what did David have to do with this? You know, he suffered the same loss as they did. But see, this is something that you don't want to do. If something has been stolen from you, don't blame the wrong guy.
That's it.
See, the reason I didn't take this man to the next police station, like I told him I was, is because some lady, at first I thought, I wish she'd mind her own business. But she said, you know, I'm not sure if it's him or if it's something. You know, she was whispering, oh, it's the guy next to him. You know, that put hesitation in me. Because
sure.
I didn't know, you know, I mean, this guy is crying now. He is in tears, you know, like, please. Okay, anyway. And he could have been innocent. See, it's important that we blame the right person.
Yes, yes.
See, sometimes we blame ourselves. And for the rest of our lives, we blame ourselves. I tell you right now, if things have been stolen from you, there is now, from this moment forth, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. See, while you're condemning yourself, the thief goes free. Oh, it's all my fault. Stop it already. Don't do that. You know, you can do worse. We can actually blame God. Well, we wouldn't come out and say that. But really deep inside, if truth be told, yeah, that's who we're really blaming. See, that's really what they were doing here. Well, they couldn't go to God, or they wouldn't. So they addressed the next best thing, which was God's man. Hello.
Amen.
By the way, if things don't go right, don't blame your pastor.
Right. Amen.
Amen. So, see, John 10:10, Jesus says, the thief comes to do nothing but to steal, kill, and destroy. See, ultimately, I don't care, even if it involved people. See, you can't fight people. You can't fight against flesh and blood. Let the people go. But get the one that is behind the people. And that's the thief. That's the devil. Amen?
Amen.
Then what does David do? He doesn't get mad at the people, but it says he strengthened himself in the Lord his God. He strengthened himself in the Lord his God. He sure couldn't get comfort or encouragement from his people. They were trying to stone him. But he found his courage in God. I remember that time when Josette called me. I'm in the mountains of Colorado, and she calls me and she said, "By the time you get home, the police will be there to arrest you." I said, "Excuse me?" She said, "Yeah, your boss, your former boss, apparently did something, and he blamed you for it, so he could get off the hook. So the police is there to, you know, they're going to wait for you." And I was up in the mountains coming down to I-25. And I-25, it's beautiful. It goes north and it does also go south. Now, north is where I was supposed to go, but south is the Mexican border. And I actually, for a moment, I considered, I really don't look forward to being arrested, quite honestly. But anyway, I made a decision. No, I need to face the music. I was innocent anyway. But you know, it hit me like a lead balloon. It just was, oh my goodness. It just knocked the air right out of me. I mean, you're like, oh, wow. And then at first, you know, what do you do? What do you do? So I started praying.
Amen.
I started praying in tongues.
Yes.
And let me tell you, you would have thought this was the lamest prayer in tongues you've ever heard. It was so timid. There was no faith in it, no passion, no nothing. It was like a whisper. But you know what? Because the Holy Spirit in me was encouraging me, I began to re-pray and speak loudly. And after a while, listen, I felt so big. I really, you know that scripture that says, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." I experienced that. I could have faced, you know, the whole, you know, Syrian army if I had to.
Yeah.
Come on, you know, make my day. I felt like I was a spiritual giant. I had no fear. I said, I'm gonna face this. And we're going to see who's going to come out on top. But nothing had happened in the natural. But I felt strong. See, that's what David did. He strengthened himself. He couldn't strengthen himself in his circumstances. Or he couldn't get comfort from the people around him. But he strengthened himself in the Lord. Amen? I don't care if nobody is on your side. The Lord is on your side. And if God be for you, who can be against you? Who can be against you? Who? Then, very important, follow God's instructions. You know, he had Abiathar, the priest, bring the ephod so that, you know, he inquired in verse 8, he inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? He didn't just go on his anger, on his emotion, say, we got to do something. See, that's where we fail lots of times. We go and we fight against flesh and blood. Say, they're going to find out how I feel about this. And then we fight the wrong battle and we're on our own. See, David wanted to make sure that he had God on his side. Hello? So, what do you want me to do, Lord? I remember when we left for the mission field. I mean, you know, we were gung-ho, young. We were going to save France, and it was going to be so powerful that all of Europe was going to be saved too, of course.
Yeah.
Well, it was a little bit, we're still working on that one. But we turned our business over to a man, a Christian man. I use the term loosely. But we turned it over. I gave him all the accounts receivable. That was a big chunk of money, okay? And gave him the whole business. And all he had to do was just maintain. All the bills were paid when I turned it over to him. All he had to do was maintain the business. Well, after about 5 months on the mission field, we find out that he left. He went to another state, collected. All he did during the time that we were gone, he collected all the accounts receivable and didn't pay any of the bills. In fact, I found the bills in a drawer of the office that he had rented and never paid the rent. I had to pay the rent, and I had to pay the printer and all these people for 5 years while I was on the mission field. But I asked the Lord, I said, what do you want me to do? I know what I would have done. Remember the guy in the metro?
Yeah.
I know what to do, and I know people, okay? I could have taken care of this, but the Lord said, nah, you know, that's not the way you're going to do it. Let him go already. Forget about it. I don't think God is from New York, but he said, forget about it. Okay, all right. See, sometimes God will instruct you, say, just leave it alone. Listen, I'm so glad I didn't waste any time pursuing this guy. See, God got it back to me in another way. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 16. And when he had brought him down, there they were spread out over all the land, eating and drinking and dancing, because of all the great spoil which they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from the land of Judah. So here was the thieves that had taken all the spoils and the wives had kidnapped those people. Here they were having a party. So just in case you have given up on some of the things, gifts, money, people, ministry that's been taken away from you, just in case, I want you to get mad.
Yeah.
Thinking that the devil and his crowd are partying over the fact that they took precious, precious things away from you. See, it's one thing to have something taken from you, but when they're partying over it, oh,
yeah.
Man. All right, let me take off my jacket. Huh? Amen? See, it isn't right. See, let me tell you. If you don't have the right posture or attitude when something is stolen from you, you will be stolen from again. If somebody burglarizes your house, and you don't do anything about it. Well, I don't believe in locking my doors. Well, why don't you put a sign, you know, like they have those security signs that you, you know, plant in your lawn. Put one out there. Come on and take whatever you want. It's like that commercial. There's a commercial for a phone company. Where the people, are, you know, the couple is talking to each other, and they've taken everything out of the house. And they're helping them. Stop doing that. Quit it already. Amen. See, let me tell you, this guy maybe he didn't even take my wallet. But I tell you, if he ever had any inclination to steal wallets, maybe he was tempted sometime, I can guarantee you that guy would have never taken any wallet from anybody again. I saw his face. He was repentant. But see, if you're just like, well, easy come, easy go. See, some Christians act like this. Well, there's more where that came from. If God gave it to me, he can give it back. Now, he wants it to be restored to you.
Yeah.
Take it out of the devil's hand. And that's exactly what David did. It says that David attacked them, verse 17, from twilight until the evening of the next day. Not a man of them escaped. Except 400 young men who rode on camels and fled. And it says, verse 18, so David recovered all. Say this with me. He recovered all. He recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives. And nothing of theirs was lacking. And what's great, he didn't just take back what had been taken from him personally or just for his men. He said, this is in the enemy's camp. We're going to take it all. We worry about dispersing it later. The main thing is to take it out of the enemy's hand. Amen. Amen. He did not do inventory. Say, oh, well, no, that doesn't look like mine. No, he took it all. Amen.
Amen.
Praise Jesus. Proverbs 6:30, last verse. Proverbs 6:30. Now, wouldn't it be nice if we could just recover everything that's been stolen?
Yeah.
And I want you to do, I'm going to give you some homework. Starting today, start making a list. If you have to write it down to remember it, make a list of things that you know have been stolen from you. Like a gift that you used to function in, and now, man, it's been 15 years. Don't just say, well, you know, I can pick it up anytime I want. Maybe it's been stolen from you. If there's a ministry that was given to you, and it wasn't just fantasy, but you knew, you had a witness from the Holy Spirit that there was a calling on your life, and somehow, where did it go? It's time to recover it. This is a time. This is a time to reactivate every calling, every gifting that we ever got from God. Amen? So it'd be great if we just recovered that, what's been stolen. But let me show you this verse. I believe this applies. It is beautiful. Proverbs 6 and verse 30. It says this. People do not despise a thief. Because that doesn't do any good. If he steals to satisfy himself when he's starving, guess what? The devil never steals anything to satisfy himself. He only steals things that have great value to God and his kingdom. So this should be valuable to us. Yet, listen to this, verse 31. Yet, when he is found, when you identified who the thief is, when he is found, he must, say he must. In other words, they're not going to, you know, you don't ask the devil, well, pretty please. You know, forget about it. It's not going to work that way. No, he must, according to the word of God, he must restore sevenfold. There may be people here, you lost a house through this crisis, through foreclosure. Could happen, huh? Well, guess what? Now, I don't know what you would do with seven houses. But, you know, the value, the multiplied value of that house that was stolen, that multiplied by seven, man, that tithe would be pretty nice,
yeah,
wouldn't it?
Nice. Wow.
Yeah. Hello? See, you're looking at me like, oh, come on. This is fairy tale land. No. This is the Word of God.
Amen.
See, if you cannot see it, you cannot have it. See, if you can't see, God sees you with everything that's been stolen from you, multiplied times seven. It's called abundant life. That's in the same verse as where the thief is identified. The thief comes nothing to do nothing but to steal, kill, and I have come so that they might have life, not just barely getting by, but have it more abundantly.
Amen.
Restored seven times. You know, Job, oh, by the way, there's a song. I love the song. I just don't like part of the lyrics. God giveth and God taketh away. God never said that.
That's right.
Those were words coming out of a depressed Job.
That's right.
Okay? But God is not, listen, God is not an Indian giver. He doesn't just give you something just for the fun of taking it away from you. Come on now. What kind of God do you think we serve? Amen?
Amen.
No, God doesn't give and take away. God gives and gives and gives and gives. Last little warning. Now, would you all like to recover?
Yes.
All?
Yes.
Multiply times seven? Okay, yes. one little fine print. If you've been a thief in the house of God, none of this is going to work. I don't care if you do all the methods, all the things. See, you're already on the devil's side. See, if you're still struggling with tithing, read Malachi one more time again and find out that we are considered as, God calls us thieves. Robbers, if we're not obedient in that, okay? So, don't be a thief, okay?
Amen.
Tomorrow morning or this afternoon, you get to your house, bathroom, look in the mirror, and tell yourself, self, I'm not a thief.
Yeah.
And if I was, I'm quitting it right now.
Amen.
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 Amen. Praise God.
I want to pray for those that already, God already showed you, either people, it could be people that left this church, could be sons, daughters, it could be money that's been stolen from you, an inheritance that somehow, you know, was removed. It could be, certainly, I believe very strongly that there's a number of people here today, there's some gifts that used to be operational in your life, and it was a joy for you. And now you think, oh, I can't do this. Well, it's because it's gone. See, you need the anointing, you know, to exercise your gift. Amen? So we're going to pray that you get it back. So, Father, I thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you that your word is truth. Like you said, heaven and earth will pass away. Our circumstances will pass away. But your word is always true. And we today receive your word as truth. And we accept that the truth would make us free. We are not, we sang it earlier. We are free. Because you've made us free indeed. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for reminding us of all the things that have been stolen from us, that have been stolen from the church, that have been stolen from America, that has been stolen from our family. I thank you that they will be restored sevenfold. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that this morning we're not going to leave anything on the battlefield. We're not going to leave anything on the table. But we, just like you, Jesus, you went down into hell and took the keys right out of the hands of the devil. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Give us your power, your wisdom, and your authority to do it in Jesus' name.